Chapter 007. Dramaturgy. A massive man over 7 feet tall. A dual wielder of wavy greatswords, apparently known as flamberges. A mountain of a man. A ball of pure muscle. The hairband he wore to hold back his hair stood out too. And he was a vampire hunter who had taken Kisshot's right leg from her. After this and that, though to be honest, only Oshino knew what this and that were, and I had no idea why things turned out as they did, I was facing him first. Phew. I sighed, slumping my shoulders, a little hunched over as I walked around the town at night once again. The date was March 31st, the last day of the month. If I took too long, midnight would come and it would be April Fool's Day. I needed to be careful. Don't get me wrong, I was already about to be in my last year of high school, so it's not as if I had any particular feelings about April Fool's Day. It was simply a matter of my mood. While I have no feelings about April Fool's Day in particular, I don't like days that are like special events.
Dramaturgy is a vampire.
I'd just been told that. Moments before I was going to leave, in that second floor classroom, Kisshot gave me another lecture about dramaturgy. This bit was new to me, though. Vampire? So, naturally, I was surprised. He's a vampire?
Could you not tell by the sight of him? Or are they humans who boast his frame? I've never heard tell of any in my 500 years.
Well, she was right. He was more than just tall or muscled. He was on a different level. Still, did she have to look at me like I was an idiot? But why would a vampire be a vampire hunter? That doesn't make sense.
Vampires who slay their own kind are not particularly uncommon. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. A vampire for a vampire, eh?
Wouldn't that make him a traitor, though?
We've no such concept.
Kisshot said. Even though Dramaturgy had, in fact, stolen her right leg from her, I didn't catch any traces of resentment in her voice.
Or do you mean to say that humans do not kill one another? Listen, as far as I know, no species of animal exists that does not kill its own kind. No, even among plants, trees rob one another of nutrients.
Though strictly speaking, she added, vampires are not living beings. What a fine detail to point out. Even among plants, huh? Anyway, I get it. But you do need to tell me these kinds of things.
I suppose so. In my weakened state and in this form, both my thought and memory must be slightly impaired.
So what should I do?
Oh, nothing special. Merely have a firm grasp of the characteristics of a vampire. And I've already taught thee, have I not?
Advice. Though her offhand remark hardly merited that name.
I doubt Dramaturgy would use the tactic, given his position, but do be careful not to let him suck thy blood. Vampires who have their blood sucked by another vampire will see their very existence wrung dry.
That was all she said. For some reason, Kisshot's attitude ever since I woke up made it almost seem like she thought highly of me. Like I would win anyway. Like I just needed to hurry off and fetch her limbs. Like I ought to, ye imbecile. Get off my butt already. Maybe it was this high estimation of me that kept her from scolding me to any great degree even when I failed. But while I was glad of her high estimation, I couldn't help but feel that she was overestimating me. Well, the fact was that she saw me as her thrall and servant. She sang her own praises as a legend and the strongest, so she must have conferred that valuation on me as well. Still, you know. I walked forward slowly, stopping and starting intermittently, reading a book. Its title? Aikido from Step 1. It was a martial arts training manual. The first place I'd headed after leaving the abandoned cram school was the one major bookstore in town. The very same bookstore I went to before meeting Kisshot below that street lamp. I was on my second attempt, and possibly what you could call my first serious one. So I'd been expecting more constructive advice from Kisshot. Since I didn't have that to rely on, I needed to see to the matter myself. And that's why I had the book. by the way, buying a martial arts training manual on its own was embarrassing. So along with it, I purchased a guide on how to play baseball and a book of lists of suggested classical music. Though, what did it mean that I was able to buy dirty magazines on their own, while I couldn't overcome my shyness about buying such a manual on its own? Thinking about that, I read as I walked. And soon, I had scanned through all of its pages. At nighttime, it was convenient having eyes that could see in the dark. But what I was doing seemed far too much like a stopgap solution. It wasn't clicking at all. But then, I was reminded that the older of my two little sisters practiced a martial art. Was it karate? Right, while I may have had zero experience in real fights, if I counted scuffles with my sister, then I was quite seasoned. She didn't really know how to hold back. But then, I realized what I was thinking and chuckled bitterly. I was about to fight a vampire of all things. And not only that, it was a duel with a vampire slaying vampire. And I was trying to learn from some last-minute cramming and fights with my little sister. I was being absolutely ridiculous. Sheesh. I really couldn't act serious, could I? I was just a devil-may-care kind of guy when it came down to it. When exactly had I given up on living an honest life? And just then...
Is that you, Araragi?
I heard a voice from behind me. I turned around and saw Tsubasa Hanekawa there. She was wearing her school uniform, even though it was spring break. She looked the exact same as she did when school was in session, down to her glasses and braided hair. Oh, Hanekawa. Why was she here? There wasn't anything special about the location. It was just a point along the shortest route between the bookstore and the duel site Oshino had decided on. A regular residential area, like the crossroads where I'd been attacked by the three. Huh? Did Hanekawa live around here? Don't tell me she picked up on the trigger word honest running through my head and was here to follow up. Was she that aggressive? Well, that couldn't be it, could it? Naturally, I had begun staring at Hanekawa.
Hmm?
She tilted her head, then suddenly held down the front of her skirt with both hands.
Oh no, I'm not giving you a look today.
This woman, she delivers a line like that with a straight face? So adorable, dammit. What do you mean by that? I tried to play it off coolly, but instead I sounded like I was trying to rap. Unfortunately, I don't know what you're talking about. My voice was cracking, the reaction of someone who knew damn well.
Hmm? So you forgot what happened?
Hanekawa said in wonderment, pouting her lips. Forgot? Me forget? If anything, I'd expect Hanekawa to forget about our encounter that day soon afterwards.
Even after you saw my panties? After staring right at them?
She remembered. Remembered it devastatingly well. Panties? Oh, you mean those items of clothing used in this country for protection against the cold worn below the torso.
Don't act like you're from a different culture.
No! This is a misunderstanding! It's all a misunderstanding! I only saw the lining of your skirt. That was the only thing I was paying attention to. The lining of your skirt.
That's pretty perverted in its own way.
She laughed at me. She laughed at me. No, that wasn't the issue here. What are you doing here, Hanekawa?
Hmm? Going for a walk? I guess?
What, at this hour? The time was 9 at night. Right on the borderline of when it was and wasn't normal for, putting aside people like me, a serious student like Hanekawa to be out, no?
I should ask you the same thing, Araragi. Why are you out here at this hour alone trekking like the Magnificent Seven?
How do I even trek like the Magnificent Seven all alone?
Hmm? What are you reading, Araragi? Is that a book about baseball?
I started by putting my manual away. I doubted she'd be able to figure out that I'd become a vampire just from my behavior. But since vampires don't show in mirrors, so they say, I honestly couldn't tell how I was coming across at that moment. Still, I had to hide what needed to be hidden. First, my canines. I would be fine as long as I didn't open my mouth too wide as I spoke, I bet. Apart from that, the wound on my neck? the wound from when Kisshot bit me. But even if Hanikawa spotted it, I would be able to explain it away. As far as changes outside of my body, being a vampire, I didn't have a shadow. But as long as I didn't walk too close to a street lamp, she probably wouldn't notice. What concerned me more than anything was how my clothes smelled. Being a vampire, I didn't worry about my body odor in the least. But nor did I have a change of clothes or access to a bath in that abandoned cram school. I really needed to just go and buy a change of clothes. I wanted to take a bath too, just because. But I basically wanted to allot whatever precious money I had in my wallet to the war effort. The phone charger cost more than I expected, and after buying the books, I was essentially out of spending money. Maybe I really needed to go buy home at some point.
What? Is that book something you don't want me seeing? Hey! Could it be something dirty?
Don't be stupid! I've never even touched printed matter as crass as that! I wouldn't want to sully my soul! It was a blatant lie, but Hanikawa let me off the hook at that. Cool person that she was. Well, yep, that's about it. I didn't know myself what I was yepping or what was about it. But I was focused on cutting the conversation short and splitting. Partly because I had to hurry ahead after taking longer than I'd hoped to read my book. But there was also a more concrete fear I had. Wasn't there a chance that I'd get her caught up in this? I was a vampire, after all. And so was the man I was about to meet. There was no room for a regular person, Hanikawa, in that. No matter how much of a model student or a class president, Hanikawa was a regular person.
Well, hold on! You're such a fast walker, Araragi! It's not every day we run into each other. We should take the chance to talk some more.
While I thought I had managed to briskly turn my back to her and walk off, Hanikawa caught up to me. Just like she'd done that day. Talk? About what?
Right. Okay, here goes. Araragi, what did you study today?
What kind of small talk was that? I hadn't studied anything, duh. Hadn't I told her? I wasn't the kind to study on my own during spring break. Besides, since becoming a vampire, my days and nights had completely reversed themselves, and in my mind, today had just started.
I focus mostly on math,
she said. Math, huh? Ever since I started high school and stopped caring, I'd failed a test in nearly every subject at least once. But math was an exception. It was thanks to my ability to score well on math tests that I was able to cling on to my life as a student at a selective private school. Even in the teacher's lounge, you could find people who, fortunately, equated being good at math with being smart. That said, did I have the confidence to take Hanikawa on about math right then? The answer was an emphatic no. I wouldn't stand a chance. After all, if the rumors were true, Hanikawa knew her times table up to 500. 500. In other words, even a dizzying product like 456 times 321 was something she could supply without thinking. Well, people who use abacuses can apparently do more impressive things. But ultimately, no matter how difficult, math came down to multiplication and division. If you bypassed the hassle of multiplying and dividing, you spent significantly less time per question. I was good at math precisely because it wasn't a subject that benefited from a lot of memorization. But even math fell under that category for Hanikawa. Maybe she was far more of a monster than any vampire. Unfortunately, all I'd studied today was Spanish.
Spanish? Huh.
Hanikawa said with a surprised expression. Did that mean she believed me? I hadn't actually expected her to.
Too bad. I don't know much Spanish.
That really is too bad.
Yeah, just enough for basic conversations.
So she could handle basic conversations. Spasibo! I yelled involuntarily.
Spasibo is Russian,
Hanikawa shot back.
Also, it doesn't have any connotation of wonderful, if you want to know.
I wasn't expected to be hit with that kind of a correction. Or rather, way to go, Hanikawa. You even guessed I'd used the Russian word thinking it meant wonderful.
You need to remember what words mean, Araragi.
Yeah. You really do know everything, don't you?
Not everything. I just know what I know.
Ah. Letting slip words pregnant with meaning as if it were the most natural thing, eh? She wasn't a class president among class presidents for nothing. When I stopped to think about it, we were neither second years nor third years during spring break, so Hanekawa really wasn't a class president. But why split hairs? She felt like a class president. Anyway, who cares what I studied? I said. Every day is a new lesson for all of us.
That's a pretty good one.
So let's think about something more constructive. Like how to make society a better place.
You're right.
Hanekawa said, taking my makeshift excuse seriously.
Okay, what might we do to get rid of bullying?
Like I'd know. This was supposed to be small talk. Spare me the heavy stuff. She tossed that at me without any sort of advance prep?
I know it's heavy, heavy stuff, but Aradagi, we've got to start somewhere. Like they say, Lourdes wasn't built in a day.
You mean Rome wasn't? Wait, didn't Lourdes also mean heavy in French? A clever one, wasn't she? She ad-libbed that? For starters, placing security cameras throughout a school should get rid of outright bullying, at least. It wouldn't address the cause, but it'd surely wipe out the effect.
It's not bad as an idea, but there's still the issue of privacy. What about locker rooms?
She pointed out a major flaw in my plan. People do get bullied in locker rooms. In fact, private spaces pose the highest risk. Okay, I got it. As the person who came up with the idea, I'll take responsibility for checking the videos of the girls' locker room.
What's okay about that?
Miss Hanekawa shook her head in earnest with a teacherly expression. I'd misspoken big time.
And anyway, I wasn't really talking about the girls' locker room, was I?
Yeah! I panicked. Hanekawa continued to look at me, decidedly unimpressed.
You'd peep, Aradagi?
No, wait, I got it! I'll let you check the video of the boys' locker room, so just pretend I never said that!
No, thank you!
Wait. That wasn't what was important here. I had to hurry up and get away from Hanekawa. I couldn't stand dramaturgy up, and I couldn't get her involved. Hey, Hanekawa. Why don't you head home already? I was about to do the same anyway.
Well, you don't have to tell me. That was my plan to begin with.
Do you live around here?
Nope. I was on a walk and ended up here.
You shouldn't wander around at night, I said. You might run into a vampire, you know. It was meant as a self-deprecating, ironic remark, but it wounded me far more than I was ready for. I didn't expect my words to be so cutting, but on top of that...
Actually, I was kind of hoping I would.
Hanekawa said, almost playfully, as I thought that.
I guess it's only a rumor, but I was thinking I just might get to meet a vampire.
Why? I couldn't help but ask. Why would you want to meet a damn vampire?
Oh, I don't have anything particular in mind. I'm at that age where you hanker after something out of the ordinary, that's all. I thought I'd meet a vampire, then have a little chat.
Bullshit! And like that, without even meaning to, I yelled at her. Oops, I thought. I messed up.
Huh?
With a confused, vague smile on her face, Hanekawa hurried to say...
Sorry, it seems like I touched a nerve there.
It would have been easy to say, not at all. It probably would have been easy. But I didn't. Honestly, I was surprised. It wasn't Hanekawa who was confused, but me. I thought I'd come to accept my situation and was keeping my cool as I dealt with it. It being the fact that I'd become a vampire. The fact that I was out to collect Kisshot's limbs. I could become human again if I did that. It was simple to understand, and simple to accept. Or so I'd thought. No part of me regretted saving Kisshot from the verge of death. Even in spite of my predicament, I could confidently say so. Yet, a few little words from Hanekawa had rattled me. When was the last time I'd yelled at someone outside of my family? Oh boy. So my intensity as a human was still at an all-time low. Well, I wasn't even human anymore. And yet, or rather, that was why. Precisely why. No, I shook my head. Instead of apologizing back to her, I swallowed my words. You're the one who gets on my nerve, I continued instead.
What?
You piss me off! I'm sick and tired of you! As Hanekawa stood there, still with her vague smile as if she hadn't taken my meaning, I started hurling at her the most lacerating words I could think of. It felt like abusing a kitten. In other words, it couldn't have felt worse. But I had to say them. I'm alone because I want to be alone. Stop following me!
Wait, Araragi? Why are you saying these things all of a sudden? Weren't we having fun talking until just a second ago?
It wasn't fun for me at all, I said, doing my best to strangle my emotions. I was pretending.
That's...
I was only after your fortune.
My family isn't that rich, you know.
I hadn't meant to crack a joke. I regrouped. I don't know if this is some way for you to get good letters of recommendation, but what's a model student like you doing talking to a washout like me? You might enjoy whatever feelings of superiority you get from this, but I can't bear you standing there and feeling sorry for me. Hanekawa's face went blank, but I couldn't falter. I had to keep going. I took my phone out of my pocket and pointed it at Hanekawa. And don't mess with people's phones without their permission! I made sure she could see my phone as I deleted Tsubasa Hanekawa's name, number, and email address. So get out of my face! Hanekawa closed her eyes after I said that to her. I wondered if she was going to cry. I hadn't made a girl cry since elementary school. That's what I thought. But rather than cry, she opened her eyes and smiled. Though it was a weak smile. Even at this stage?
All right.
She said.
Sorry you had to say all of that to make me go away.
Then, Hanekawa turned her back to me and ran off, leaving me behind. Sorry? Did she just apologize there at the end? After everything I said to her? Honestly, I had managed to blacken my own mood saying all those things. How was she able to smile at me like that? It was obvious why. She wasn't like me. She was a really cool person. I had to quickly part ways with Hanekawa before going to the agreed-upon location. I couldn't allow a regular person like her to get involved. That, of course, had been going through my head. But far more than that. It seemed like I had vented my anger on her. Armed with a host of justifications, I'd taken things out on her. She wanted to meet a vampire. I had vented my anger on her for innocently saying so when it was clear she didn't mean ill. Maybe I was actually regretting it. Helping Kiss Shot. Maybe I actually hated it. Having to get back Kiss Shot's limbs. Having to endanger my own person to do it. And there was one more thing, which truly scared me. Did I really want to return to being human? I found myself in a living hell if I went out in the sun. There were lots of other restrictions, too. Was I sure that I didn't long to be a vampire? An existence greater than any human? Closing my eyes to those details? In the end, I had to be feeling nervous. In that case, it was good that I hadn't simply parted ways with Hanekawa. It was good that I'd cut ties with her. No, the two of us had probably yet to meet. We simply happened to pass by, this time too. And that's why. That's why it was probably fortunate that we'd parted ways before any ties could form between us. Was I lucky or what? Fine, I muttered. I took my phone, still in hand, and put it back in my pocket. That must have done something to up my intensity as a human. I was stronger, which meant that my battle with Dramaturgy, my mission to return Kiss Shot's right leg to her, would surely go off without a hitch. Right now, that was what I needed to do most. My heart aching was not the problem. My heart aching was not the issue. I stepped forward. It had taken me more time than I'd expected, but there still seemed to be no risk of being late. To begin with, my destination wasn't far from the bookstore. The location of my battle with Dramaturgy, as specified by Oshino, was a spot I knew well. The athletic field of Naoetsu Private High School. Chapter 008. You can't schedule a time or a place for vampire hunting. The need can pop up whenever and wherever, and searching for the vampire to then slay is the vampire hunter's way. But it'd be quite a problem if such an extraordinarily troublesome, ultra-pragmatic, and dangerous doctrine were put into practice in a modern-day provincial town in Japan. An intermediary between here and there, Oshino managed to live up to his boast, selecting a location for our battle where not a soul would notice us, even if we were to rampage around. I had to say, the choice of a school's athletic field wasn't a bad choice at all. A school at night was like a blind spot, in a way. A place that noisy and boisterous during the day undergoes a transformation at night, and gets no one's attention. It seemed made for vampire slaying. Of course, we couldn't enter into the school building. With the teacher's room, the principal's room, and other targets for burglars inside, it was protected by a professional security system. However, as long as you could scale the school's gates, its athletic field was accessible. So, for a short period of time, there would be no witnesses. An excellent spot for a battle. But why Naowetsu High?
Because it's where you go to school.
Oshino had answered me. Yeah, and I'm asking you why you chose the athletic field of the school I go to. I guess it's far away from any houses, so it might be a suitable battleground in that sense. But doesn't it seem obvious that it'll be hard for me to fight there?
Hard? You've got it wrong. It'll be easy.
Oshino said, wagging his finger.
It'll be easy for you, Araragi. You're a brand new vampire, who turned just the other day, and you'll be facing an expert vampire hunter. Wouldn't you want to go around on familiar terrain?
Go around? Is that some kind of vampire ability? I don't know how to use that.
Go around. With a locational advantage.
It wouldn't be fair otherwise, so he threw that in for free. That was how Oshino put it. I understood his point, but still, I didn't like the idea of doing something as strange as this at the high school I attended. Oh well. Let's see some superpowered school action then, quite literally this time. Sorry to keep you waiting. My greeting sounded somewhat moronic. But my opponent had arrived before me, so it was something I had to say, even if I wasn't late. In the center of the field sat the mountain of a man cross-legged. With his mouth shut and his eyes closed, he nearly seemed to be in a state of Zen meditation. In response to my voice, the man, Dramaturgy, said,
"Galactaristo."
No, I didn't know what he said. Then,
"Ah, yes, the language of the land I am in," he said as he stood.
He really was huge. It was like he had to be careful not to hit his head on the moon. He didn't have his flamberges. Those wavy greatswords? Not even one? What?
"Do not misunderstand, my brethren."
Dramaturgy began speaking to me in stunningly fluent Japanese, though he'd taken so long that I'd gone and entertained suspicions about his unarmed state.
"I have not come here to slay you."
What was this guy trying to tell me now? I flinched into a battle stance. I mentally flipped through the index of Aikido from Step 1, which now sat, with the rest of my bag, outside the gates. What moves could I use in a real fight? As I was lost in thought, Dramaturgy repeated words to the same effect.
"I did not accede to the pronouncements of that man, that frivolous-looking man, out of a desire to slay you."
If you're not here to slay me, then what? That frivolous-looking man. He had to be referring to Oshino. So he looked sleazy even to guys like Dramaturgy.
"I hope to recruit you,"
Dramaturgy revealed, forgoing any formalities and cutting straight to the heart of the matter.
"I put this to you. Why not don the garb of a vampire hunter, like myself?"
What the hell? I put on a brave face in reaction to this unexpected turn of events. "Last time we met, you tried to chop me down, no questions asked. So why are you saying this now?"
"Episode and Guillotine Cutter were there at the time. I could not extend this kind of an invitation in the company of those two. But I would regret having to kill a being as rare as you. A thrall of heart Underblade. The iron-blooded, hot-blooded, yet cold-blooded vampire."
"If I join you," I asked, "you'll return Kisshot's right leg. Is that the deal?"
"You're quite courageous to call that woman Kisshot, But your conjecture is incorrect. Your first job would surely be to kill Heart Underblade.
Then it's not happening. There wasn't any point in talking. In any case, I was going to turn back into a human. How could I become a kinslaying vampire? Think about who you're talking to.
I see. That is unfortunate. Truly unfortunate. I currently have 53 brethren, and you seemed fit to join them as someone whose mistress seems to have little control over him.
Little control over me? Was it true then? Had Kishot failed to make me her servant? 53, that's a pretty big number. If there really are that many vampire kinslayers, then I suppose Kishot was right. If I'd agreed, I'd have been buddy number 54?
No. You would have become number one in no time,
Dramaturgy said with a straight face.
Incidentally, I am currently number one.
Huh. I'd never taken him for some grunt, so I wasn't particularly surprised. If such a vampire was so eager to slay her, Kishot really had to be something. The iron-blooded, hot-blooded, yet cold-blooded vampire. The Aberration Slayer. I see. I see why you wanted to have me join you, paradoxically enough. But next time, try a little harder with the invitation. Shape up or you'd never pick up a girl. It wasn't as if I was endeavoring to imitate Oshino, but I tried delivering a sleazy line. It felt like the kind of moment where I needed to act cool.
Ah.
Dramaturgy simply nodded. Of course, the quip didn't land. How embarrassing. But this was my chance. Dramaturgy had probably left those wavy greatswords somewhere in order to recruit me. Although I got that I was immortal, blades were scary, period. So I was grateful for this turn of events. Dramaturgy's greatswords, with which he must have had severed Kishot's right leg. Of the four severed limbs, the only wound that had looked smooth, defined. It actually seemed difficult to slice like that with a wavy edge, but if Dramaturgy didn't have them with him, it was an opportunity for me. The winds favored me. Perhaps.
Then let us begin, pitiful boy. Thrall of Heart Underblade. You have no time to waste, correct?
Wait. Before we do that, let's go over the conditions. I said to Dramaturgy, who had begun to loosen his arms, rotating them around and around. We need to be on the same page.
Very well. Then make sure we are.
If I win, you'll give Kishot's right leg back to me, right?
Only if you'd tell me Kishot's location were I to win.
Fine by me.
Then it is fine with me, too. Let us get to it,
he said, rotating an arm and striking at me. The sheer speed of it belied his massive physique, his fist barreling toward me with his whole weight behind it like a pro boxer's punch. I could see it. I could see it with my vampire eyes. But even if I could see it, there was nothing I could do about it. A moment later, my left arm was gone. It hadn't broken, nor had it been torn off. The impact of Dramaturgy's punch had blown it to smithereens. It wasn't a matter of pain. Fear had instantly overtaken my body. I mean, I just lost a fifth of it! Reflexively. Reflexively and instinctively, I started to run away from Dramaturgy. But after no more than two steps, I tripped over my own feet and nearly fell. And it seemed to be a good thing that I had. A gigantic fist swooped through the air where my head had been only a moment earlier. I barely avoided tumbling over, supporting myself against the ground with my left hand. But my mind was racing. Left hand? Huh? My left arm should have been blown to bits, but it was there? Vampiric regeneration. But really, it worked that fast? While the fabric that had gone flying along with my left arm didn't regenerate together with it, my bare arm only emphasized the healing powers of vampiric flesh. I had tried out my physical strength, but I hadn't gone so far as to test my healing powers, so I was gobsmacked. Though upon further consideration, there was the time at the very beginning when I'd experienced pure hell after exposing my body to the sun. So there was nothing surprising about this level of recuperation.
What's wrong? Are you just going to run, Thrall of Heart Underblade.
Don't call me weird names! I began to calm down after seeing my left arm regenerate. All of the fear I felt vanished. Yes. Yes, indeed. My opponent was a monster. But I was a monster too now. What was there to be afraid of? I yelled as I did a backflip. My athletic abilities had unmistakably improved as well. I'd always thought that you'd needed a trampoline or computer graphics in order to do a backflip. Then, I struck a pose and faced Dramaturgy straight on for the first time.
Aha! So you're ready to make a stand!
Thanks to you. So I won't ask you to pay for the clothes you ruined. As I said this, I began to think. Dramaturgy. A vampire slaying vampire. Kishot had told me that all I needed was a good grasp of the characteristics of a vampire. If I remembered correctly, they were weak to the sun. They didn't like crosses. They didn't like silver bullets. They didn't like holy water. They didn't like garlic. They didn't like poison. They died if you stuck a stake through their heart. Those were the weaknesses, right? What other characteristics were there? Well, first and foremost, they sucked blood, which resulted in energy drain. They didn't have shadows and didn't show in mirrors. And indeed, even under the moonlight, Dramaturgy didn't have a shadow. Just like I didn't. Canines, or rather fangs. I didn't really notice them on Dramaturgy, who tended to keep his mouth shut in a straight line. And they were immortal? They had semi-permanent powers of regeneration? They had eyes that could see well even in the dark? There was also that bit about shape-changing, where they could turn their bodies into mist or darkness, among other things. As well as the healing powers of vampire blood. But none of it really seemed relevant at the moment, I thought rather belatedly. I didn't want to make light of Kishot's advice. But since both Dramaturgy and I were vampires, it appeared as though everything, both our strengths and our weaknesses, canceled out. If I was immortal, then so was he. In that case, was it down to experience and raw ability? In terms of experience, he had to have a slight edge on me. Well, okay, maybe more than slight. I'd only read an Aikido manual on the way. So be it! Maybe Kishot was rubbing off on me, because I screamed an old-timey phrase that I never thought I'd utter during my lifetime, and charged like a kamikaze at Dramaturgy.
I had expected some ruse. I commend you for your guilelessness,
Dramaturgy said, meeting me with his own guileless attack. Guileless. Or to put it another way, one note. No matter how massive his fist, no matter its astonishing speed, 3 in a row was pushing it. Well, it might have worked back when I was human, but now with vampire's eyes, 3 times was enough for me to adapt. Forward. I ducked forward to evade his fist. Then, as his log-like arm followed a beat later, I grabbed the earthen pipe of an appendage. Using the momentum of my opponent's fist, and in one fluid motion, I transitioned into an arm lock. Aikido from step 1. 1. Take the opponent's arm. 2. Pull it toward you. 3. Slam down your opponent as hard as you can. Going back over the words, they seemed a tad breezy for explaining a technique to a beginner. But it worked. The 7-foot-plus giant fell hard on the more or less unkempt field without so much as an attempt to break his fall. Well, he couldn't because I was making him fall. From there, I pressed down on his back with one knee and stretched his joints as far as they would go. How's that?
Too clever by half,
replied Dramaturgy, his face still buried in the ground.
Guilelessness served you better. It seems you are still clinging to the common sense you acquired as a human. But I suppose that is only natural. I understand as I was once a human too.
What? Cut the nonsense and surrender already! If you don't, I'll break this arm right now! Oops. Wait a sec. I sounded exactly like a character who was about to have the tables turned on him. It smacked of a cue. The common sense I acquired as a human? Common sense, as in my line of thought? Oh. Right. Of course. So what if I put an arm lock on him? What good would that do? I was going to break his arm? Really? And even if I did manage to break it, he he was a vampire. Wouldn't it heal immediately? But that wasn't what Dramaturgy meant either. I doubt I'd have been able to do anything, even if I'd wised up sooner. But as it was, I only grasped the true meaning of his words after both of my hands, busy twisting his pipe-like arm, had been cleanly severed. Severed by him? No, I'd practically severed them myself. By gripping his hand, which had turned into a wavy greatsword.
Ow!
This time, I did feel pain. Real pain. Lacerating pain. I'd be using that figure of speech with some genuine feeling from now on. I involuntarily leapt back, distancing myself from Dramaturgy's body. My two lopped-off hands disappeared before they hit the ground. I looked again to find them attached to my wrists. They had come back into existence. My physical regeneration didn't feel to me like I had grown new wrists, like a lizard's tail. It was as if my hands had simply returned, and the severed ones disappeared. Or to be more accurate, it was like they'd evaporated. It was a convenient system, so to speak. Leaving my severed hands on the school's athletic field wasn't an option. Dramaturgy got back up slowly, unhurriedly. You might even say sluggishly. It was no surprise that it took him time, though. After all, both of his hands had turned into wavy greatswords. Shape-changing. Vampires could shape-change. This guy turned parts of his body into weapons. On that day, too. It may have been at night. No, I could see fairly well at night with my vampire eyes. So my lingering human common sense was to blame. I dismissed the possibility because it went against common sense. Putting his wavy greatswords away in order to recruit me had been an idyllic fantasy. The two greatswords had been one with Dramaturgy.
"What's wrong? Finished already?"
Dramaturgy said. Despite his advantage, his stern expression remained unchanged. In fact, having bared his blades, he looked to be getting serious only now. There was too much of a difference in experience. Too much of a gap in general. We were both vampires, but I could never be like him. His size, the length of his swords. Now that we were squaring off face to face, it seemed impossible even to approach him. His giant body alone must have given him 3 times my reach.
"I asked if you're finished. Are you not going to answer me? Was that not the judo of this nation?"
It was Aikido. But I wasn't good enough at it to be able to say that in reply. It had been a fluke. I wouldn't even be able to repeat it. So if he asked about any variations, I wouldn't know what to do. Damn it. Why had I shown up empty-handed to begin with? I'd never imagined they were part of his body, but I was quite aware that my opponent used greatswords. I should have come properly armed, too. If I'd only brought a cannon. Only? I didn't have those kinds of connections. Hold on a second. Maybe I did have a hand to play. In that case...
I see. So you've given up. Very well. Then I will go next. And I will keep on carving up your body until your powers of immortality expire. Or you cry out for death.
Dramaturgy began to move. And so did I. But while he moved forward, I moved backward. I was making a retreat. In other words, I ran in the opposite direction from Dramaturgy.
"You would run?"
he yelled. But I hadn't taken flight, nor was I routed. I was strictly retreating. Retreating in order to set up a reversal. A coherent plan had yet to take shape in my head, but I couldn't afford to hesitate. So be it indeed. It was somewhat inelegant, but I had no other hand to play. I had Dramaturgy beat at sprinting speed, if nothing else. By my rough estimate, Dramaturgy weighed over 400 pounds. And now that both of his arms had turned into those wavy greatswords, he could be closer to 650. No matter how fast his fists, it didn't mean that he could move fast. Punching was a question of shifting your body weight perfectly. While I was sure that he could run faster than a human, there was no way Dramaturgy could match me and my pure body weight of 120 pounds. I had to use my advantage to its fullest. Still, I wasn't running away. and I wasn't fleeing at random. I had a destination in mind. It was about locational advantage. I wasn't the most serious of students, but I'd spend 2 years at this school, so I at least knew where to find the PE storage shed. I arrived at the shed having put a fair bit of distance between me and Dramaturgy, still giving chase, and kicked down its sliding steel door. I knew it would be locked, and even if it wasn't, I didn't have time to fiddle with the latch. And bingo! Yes, PE class at our school included baseball practice. I took one of the many balls from inside a cage, and then tried to remember the contents of that guide to baseball that I bought together with the Aikido manual. Thank goodness I'd flipped through it after reading the Aikido manual just because I'd had some spare time. I would have been in trouble had my fingers itched for the classical music book instead. 1. Wind up. 2. Transfer your lower body strength to your upper body. 3. Swing your arm through. Again, this was too breezy for a beginner. It seemed like I had no talent for picking out reference materials. Still, the ball flew in a straight line toward Dramaturgy. As someone with no experience playing youth league baseball, this was of course my first time ever throwing a ball in this way. Unfortunately, baseball was an elective in PE class. I'd selected soccer. But as with the earlier Aikido technique, this is what they called beginner's luck. The hard ball landed right where Dramaturgy's lungs were. Dramaturgy, who'd been charging toward me like a freight train, crouched over on the spot as the ball rolled away. He may have been a vampire, but his internal organs seemed to function like normal internal organs, and he was having trouble breathing. Come to think of it, a stake through the heart killed a vampire, so it was natural for the lungs to work as lungs. That meant an attack on the sensory organs would be effective too. Even in the face of immortality, there were ways. Okay, let's keep this up, I thought as I grabbed the next ball. I had a full cage's worth of them, an embarrassment of riches. But my control was an embarrassment, as in poor. I seemed to have exhausted my beginner's luck, as the next 5 balls I threw didn't so much as graze Dramaturgy's squatting body. One after the next, they dug into the ground next to him. They dug pretty deep, so much so that I needed to go over the field later with one of those heavy rollers or whatever the baseball team used. But even pitches with that kind of impact didn't serve their purpose if they missed. And it was such a big target, too. How would I ever climb the pitcher's mound in the majors like this? Climbing Mount Everest seemed easier.
You seem to be a man who is too clever by half and guileless at the same time.
Dramaturgy stood while I kept at it. He began running toward me again.
But that, too, will only work once.
Dramaturgy and I were now 30 yards away from each other. Or thereabouts. Considering his gait, he'd reach me in 3 seconds. In which case, being partway in the PE shed was a minus. Even if I wanted to run, I had nowhere to go. Out of desperation, half resigned, I threw what would surely be my last ball.
So long as I know they're coming, 1 or 2 balls as squishy as those will do nothing to stop me.
Dramaturgy was saying this and charging straight at me when the ball crashed into his face. The ball stopped him in his tracks. Not that his previous statement was mistaken. No need for a retraction. Because the final ball I threw wasn't a squishy hard ball. It was a hard, hard ball. Almost a cannonball. The shot used in the shot put. Gosh, who left it inside a cage for baseballs? This did deal some damage. Dramaturgy was covering his mouth with his 2 wavy greatswords and groaning. Was it taking some time to heal? Didn't vampires heal wounds instantaneously, like with my left arm and my hands? Was it the shot put? No, why had I landed a hit with the shot put to begin with? Playing it back in my head, I seem to have thrown it with some grace, if I do say so myself. But who normally threw a shot put like that? Why? Ah, right, it's weight. I should have remembered upon kicking down the steel door. Having turned into a vampire, I had greater arm strength. A regular hardball used in baseball must have been too squishy and too light for me. After the bit of beginner's luck for the first one, that's why my aim was so erratic. something like a shot put was just right. No, even a shot put was on the light side. In that case...
You!
Before Dramaturgy could lift his face, I'd gone to the back of the shed and dragged out the concrete roller they used to smooth the field. The roller the baseball team used. Grabbing and lifting it with one hand, I wound up. If I can't even hit a big target, I guess I'll have to use a bigger ball! Then, transferring my lower strength to my upper body, swing my arm through. But the instant before I did, nothing had hit him yet, but Dramaturgy crouched down where he was, his wavy greatsword hands raised toward the sky. And I stopped myself from swinging my arm through at the very, very last moment, and instead slammed the roller into the ground. A huge dent formed in the athletic field. I'd nearly crushed my own toes. What are you up to, Dramaturgy?
It is as it appears. I surrender.
Dramaturgy said in his self-same tone, his stern expression still unbroken.
Smashed with that thing, with your strength, the damage would be tremendous. It would take me 2 full days to regenerate.
What?
You seem to have misunderstood something. Not many vampires have the ability to heal damage instantaneously. True, amongst vampires I am on the weaker side when it comes to regeneration. But you belong to a wholly different category. After all, you are Heart Underblade's thrall.
Was that so? Still, I couldn't take Dramaturgy's words at face value, so I kept up my guard. I quietly reached for the roller I'd flung to the ground in the nick of time.
Did I not say that you were number one? In spite of the gap in raw ability, I thought my experience gave me a chance for now to beat you. But it seems impossible. Netting you is beyond me.
No, wait! While he had me beaten experience, I had him beaten raw ability? That wasn't how I saw it, and I still didn't get that sense.
Would you be satisfied then if I said this? I will never lay my hands on you again, so please spare my life.
Dramaturgy said that without the slightest hint of a grin. The damage from the shot put appeared to have healed. He hardly seemed done for. Was pulling out now the mark of a pro? A professional. Quitting while both of us were still fine. Kiss Shot's right leg. You'll give it back?
Yes.
Dramaturgy nodded, then returned the wavy greatswords that were his hands to their original shape.
I am keeping it hidden somewhere at the moment, but I will deliver it to that frivolous man as soon as I may. Is that enough to make you happy?
Yeah.
Then we have a settlement,
he said, and suddenly began fading. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, but they weren't. While a vampire's eyes could misrecognize, they couldn't be deceived. His body was melting away into the darkness of night. Shape-changing. Turning one's body into mist. And just like that, Dramaturgy disappeared. But after he had vanished completely, his voice echoed across the field.
Thrall of Heart Underblade.
What is it? I replied into the darkness.
Allow me to invite you once more. Will you not join us?
Ain't happening. I flatly turned him down. The answer wouldn't change no matter how many times he asked. That kind of thing doesn't interest me one bit. I've had my fill of superpowered school battles. There was no reply to my line. He seemed to have completely melted away into the dark. Would he keep his promise? I felt a bit anxious, but then reconsidered. It was to make that happen that Oshino had arranged this. And either way, this Dramaturgy vampire seemed like the type to keep his word. Guileless and straightforward. Another formerly human vampire, was he? Well, in that case, it would have been nice to talk to him a little more. A part of me thought that, but nothing would have been more pointless. The two of us didn't mix. They were trying to slay me in Kiss Shot, and I wanted to get her limbs back from them. It was that simple. That takes care of the right leg. 1/4 of the way there. It had only taken a few minutes, but it felt like I'd lived 5 lifetimes. My body may have been immortal, but this was rough work. Rough work, but only 3/4 left. Right, time to tidy up and head home. It seemed that thanks to my powers of recovery once again, I wasn't physically tired at all. But I was exhausted mentally. Clean up the balls, then flatten the ground. But what would I do about the steel door on the PE shed? I'd kicked it down. Well, it couldn't be helped. I tried my best to force it back into place. So I guess I should start by cleaning up the balls I threw everywhere? And then, just as I lifted my face. I think I've already hammered this point home, but thanks to my vampire eyesight, I noticed someone in the shadows of the school building, far off on the other side of the athletic field. Someone? Who? It wasn't Dramaturgy. Could it be one of the remaining 2? Episode or Guillotine Cutter? No, no way. I was supposed to face the remaining 2 at a later date. In that case, could it be Oshino? Despite all his talk about being neutral, he was actually watching over me from the shadows? Just like the hero's master in a boy's manga. I didn't remember ever agreeing to become his disciple. But the thought still made me a little happy. I even made such a mistake, but that someone wasn't Oshino either. I took a dozen or so steps closer at an angle to get a better view of the school building's shadow. And finally, my eyes made out the figure. Pupils that silently looked in my direction. It was Tsubasa Hanekawa. What? What? Why was she here? She hadn't followed me, had she? Had she tailed me? Even after I'd chased her away so meanly? I was too confused to do anything and simply stood there like a statue. But despite the distance, Hanekawa seemed to realize that I'd noticed her and began walking my way. Stomp, stomp, stomp. I could almost hear her footsteps. She was 3 times as scary as Dramaturgy. Why are girls so scary? Or did I feel that way because I was facing Hanekawa? A model student. Tsubasa Hanekawa, class president among class presidents.
What was that just now?
She asked straight away. In the time it took for Hanekawa to reach me, I decided that my best course of action was to play dumb, but her tone suggested that she wouldn't let it go at that. She'd seen me. She'd probably seen everything. Not that I'd be in the clear if she'd only seen the last minute. I'd picked up that roller with 1 hand.
I went looking for you after that. I lost track for a bit, but then I found this bag in front of the school gates.
As Hanekawa said this, she held up her right hand to show me the very bag containing the Aikido manual, the baseball guide, and the book of classical music recommendations.
So I thought you might be inside school. I did have to climb over the gates, though.
Awfully aggressive for a model student. Still, leaving the books outside the gates was a misstep, though I never imagined something that minor leading to this fix.
Hey, Araragi. I was too far away to see clearly, but weren't you just doing something out of a fantasy novel?
What's it have to do with you? It was all I could say. Damn it. Right when I thought I'd taken care of things for the time being by winning back Kishot's right leg and earned myself a breather, I had to do it again. I had to wound Hanekawa again. And why are you tailing me anyway? I don't get it. I told you not to follow me around. Stop pretending to be my friend just so you have an excuse to stick your nose in my business.
You're not the type to say that kind of thing, are you, Araragi?
Hanekawa's eyes were honestly frightening. They weren't cold eyes like Kishot's. If I had to describe them, I'd call them probing. Eyes that bore a hole, that saw right through you. Eyes that forced you to recognize how shallow you were.
I feel bad that I'm making you say these things. It must mean you're in such a tough spot that your only option is to say them, right?
Hanekawa held the bag in her right hand out toward me. I took it. If she was only here to deliver me some dropped items, our exchange would now come to an end.
I'm sorry for taking so long to notice, but...
She continued.
I want to help, if that's the case.
You're really pushy, you know that?
I said, squeezing the words out of my throat.
You're reading too much into things. I was just bored of hanging out with you. I prefer to be alone.
Liar. You're not a misanthrope or the world-weary type, Araragi. I can figure that much out. At least, you seem to be having fun when you were talking to me.
Like I said, I was only after your fortune.
And like I said, my family isn't that rich.
Then I was only after your toddy.
I don't drink, and you shouldn't either.
Not what I meant to say.
No, I'm telling you I was only after your body.
Which is it? My toddy or my body?
Your body!
I yelled. I didn't even know what I was saying anymore.
Fine then. I'll make up with you if you show me your panties again.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Hanekawa was utterly calm. Unperturbed, not even moving an eyebrow. In one fluid motion, she turned up her school uniform skirt, showing me the underwear it hid inside. The deep gray article was made of a felt-like material. It had a simple design, featuring neither patterns nor decorations, but that served only to bring out the flavor of the material itself.
Is this okay? Can you see them all right? Do you want me to take off my blouse too?
Hanekawa said the words quietly, still holding her skirt upturned. Oh, I thought. Now, for the first time, I was finally meeting Hanekawa. We weren't passing by each other. We had met head on. Right. She was a cool person. But that wasn't all. She was a strong person. Compared to me, she wasn't even in the same league. I said some horrible things. I'm sorry. I bowed my head, bending forward as far as my body would let me. Hanekawa still had her skirt held up, but it should go without saying that I wasn't bowing my head in order to get a better view. It was to apologize to her, and to ask her. Please be my friend. Chapter 009. There was something I had to do before explaining the situation to Hanekawa, though. Not to mention the fact that it was already far too late at night. I had her go home for the time being, with the promise that I'd tell her everything tomorrow night. I then went back to the abandoned cram school. Oshino was out, but Kishot was waiting in the second floor classroom. I told her that I managed to get her right leg back for now.
Well done,
Kishot said.
But of course, I should expect no less from my thrall. As one who has inherited my power, thou must have had no trouble handling the likes of Dramaturgy.
I had plenty of trouble. He knows when to accept defeat, though.
Well, Dramaturgy is the most understanding of those three. I do not mean to frighten thee, but it won't be the same with the other two.
Yeah, I bet. Episode. He even looked like bad news, with that gigantic cross slung over his shoulder. And then there was that priestly man. Guillotine cutter. Whatever he wasn't showing was bad news, no doubt.
Still, take this moment to rejoice. You've drawn a sure step closer to humanity.
Have I really? If anything, I felt like I'd become less human. Dramaturgy had superhuman strength, but my powers of regeneration seemed to outdo his. Anyway, I wanted to ask you just for my own reference. How many times can I die?
A good question. And one we won't know the answer to until we try to find out.
I'd rather not. The two of us kept up our conversation, equal parts celebration and review, until before dawn. Around the time I finally began to feel sleepy, Oshino returned. He wore the same Hawaiian stuff as always. He did seem to own multiple shirts, but they uniformly featured psychedelic designs like it was a political statement of some sort. He was empty-handed when I met him at the crossroads. But at some point, he had obtained the bare minimum of daily sundries and supplies. He seemed to be no stranger to camping out. Speaking of which, your dress never seems to get any dirtier. How does that work?
Well, Vampire clothes are almost a part of our bodies,
replied the ever-dressed clad Kisshot. Even though I looked like the frontman of a rock band with my left sleeve torn courtesy of dramaturgy.
He turned to mist along with his attire, did he not?
So his clothes are a part of him just like those wavy greatswords.
Attire owes more to an ability to generate matter. At times I, too, wield a sword in battle. But unlike dramaturgy, I employ my powers of matter generation to do so, not those of transformation.
That's amazing. Where are you, laws of conservation of energy and mass? Oh well, something must have happened to them. And in due course...
Welcome back, Oshino.
I'm home.
The man waved casually, a Boston bag in his hand. Could Kishot's right leg be inside?
Good job, Araragi.
I didn't really do that much.
What are you talking about? You put in some hard work. I know. I was watching over you from the shadows.
You were?
Yep.
Oshino said, nodding.
So guess what? I also know that you made a girl pull up her own skirt.
I recalled feeling a bit happy when I'd mistaken Hanikawa hiding in the shadows of the school for Oshino. But now I only felt embarrassed. But he really was watching, huh? Still, why say that in front of Kisshot? Look, she's tilting her head disapprovingly. Oshino?
Oh, no need to worry. I was watching you from the front, so I couldn't see that girl's panties from my angle.
That's not what I was worried about!
You've got a good friend. Is she a classmate?
We're in different classes, but yeah, she's a friend. Her name is Tsubasa Hanikawa. She's a class president among class presidents, I said. Though it was embarrassing in its own way.
Huh.
Oshino mumbled noncommittally.
In any case, you should properly explain the situation to any witnesses, especially her, since she seemed like a smart one.
That was my plan. I don't know how to explain it, though.
There's always the option of pushing her away.
I've already tried, and failed.
Did you know? Well, you are dealing with a girl. There's no such thing as being too sensitive.
I don't think it matters if I'm dealing with a boy or a girl in this situation.
What's this now? Is that really your level of awareness? Unlike girls, boys don't come up with creative dance routines, do they?
Man, you say that like girls have more originality, but it's just that only they have a creative dance component in PE. What a way to judge me and my originality.
But Araragi, you're the one who'll be fretting because you can't dance when the story of our everyday lives gets turned into an anime.
Why would our everyday lives get turned into an anime?
Because a drama CD can't convey that wonderful face you make when you act the straight man.
Our everyday lives were a drama CD?
It'll be fun, though. It'll be like the ending of Demon Lord Hero Legend Wataru.
I don't even think I was born when that was on the air.
You say that, but I see your Kyocera phone. The prospect is so on your mind.
What sort of roundabout appeal am I making? But point taken. It was a mystery to us boys what the girls did during creative dance class. Honestly, I didn't have the first clue.
Well, being a man myself, I don't exactly know what they do either.
Oshino admitted.
But I bet they could never show to boys the kinds of immodest dances
they... What? Now you've got me interested.
Why else would those classes only be for girls?
I had a feeling he was on the wrong track. But it was also true that boys were always out on the athletic field during PE when the girls were inside doing creative dance. Was that like quarantining? Oh, but Oshino, speaking of girls only, there's another thing about phys ed that makes me wonder. During health classes in middle school, there were just a couple of times when they split up the boys and the girls. These were lectures and had nothing to do with stamina and all. I wonder what the girls were learning then.
Araragi, that...
Oshino began, but he thought better of it and coughed mid-sentence.
That, I don't know. And there are some things even I don't know.
Yep, I thought so.
Hey, why don't you ask that Tsubasa Hanikawa girl when you explain the situation to her? I bet she'll tell you.
Oh, that makes sense. Good idea. What was it that I was feeling? The air was buzzing with a faint degree of malice.
There.
Kisshot finally stepped in.
Done chatting?
Hmm? Oh! You seem to be in good spirits too, Heart Underblade. Anything good happen to you lately? Sure it did.
Laughing, Oshino undid the zipper of his Boston bag. He then stuck his hand inside and pulled out Kishot's right leg. It had been placed inside as is, not kept in a case or wrapped in plastic. Just the bare leg, stuffed inside, like something a sick murderer would do. It was an adult woman's leg, slender and pretty, neither bleeding nor rotting, no doubt because it was a vampire's leg. He really did give it back. Dramaturgy, the vampire slaying vampire.
That's what a negotiator is for. I wish you'd at least put that much trust in me. There's nothing more important than a relationship based on trust, you know? There's no negotiating without it. They might be expert vampire hunters, but I'm a pro in my own right. And on such a point, I'd never let them breach a contract. Here, Heart Underblade.
Oshino casually handed Kishot her right leg, and she took it from him. What a sight. Wait, what are you going to do? That leg doesn't match your current size. You aren't just swapping them, are you?
I do this,
Kishot said. Cradling her right leg with both arms, she opened wide and sunk her teeth into it. From there, she simply began eating. Chew, chew, chomp, chomp. Gnaw, gnaw. Meat and bone together. Okay, no anime adaptation. A 10-year-old girl eating the right leg of an adult woman, and apparently finding it pretty tasty.
Hmm?
Kishot glanced in our direction.
Don't be standing there gaping, fools. Leave me to myself as I eat. Where are thy manners?
Whatever. It wasn't like I wanted to watch. Hardly needing the prodding, Oshino and I left the classroom, went out into the hallway, and closed the door without looking back. Oshino was snickering. What was so funny? All I could do was sigh. By the way, Oshino, while Kishot is taking her meal, there was something I wanted to ask you.
Hmm? What is it?
You must already know if you were watching, but Dramaturgy blew away my left arm. But I recovered instantly. So fast that recovered isn't the right word. So why didn't Kishot's limbs regenerate at all?
Don't you think it's because Heart Underblade had lost nearly all of her immortal force by the time you met her?
Well, yes, I did think of that. But when my hands were cut off, the old ones disappeared by the time I was healed. So I thought maybe Kishot's limbs might have disappeared too. But that wasn't the case either. I was wondering why. They didn't regenerate and they didn't disappear.
That kid is a rare breed, Araragi.
Oshino answered without holding back.
Those guys want her body intact, to steal it and make it their own. Intact, but piece by piece. In other words, it wasn't her limbs that they took from her as much as her existence as a vampire. That's why the severed limbs neither regenerate nor disappear. It's an extremely bothersome thing they're doing. Denying her limbs the opportunity to disappear also blocks their regeneration. When you think about it, it's a very good way to disable an aberration slayer. Araragi, you ought to be careful too.
Oshino said, his tone turning vicious.
It seems like Dramaturgy actually wanted you to join him, but you're Kishot's thrall. Who's to say they won't steal your body to make a specimen out of you?
Really?
You bought it. Well, it's a unique technique that can't be used very frequently. Don't worry, they wouldn't try. And it probably took all three of them to do it anyway. With only two of them left, the risk is already gone.
Which one do I face next? I asked. Episode or guillotine cutter?
The order is up to them, so I can't say for sure. But I think it'll be episode. I'll try to set things up as soon as I can. That way you won't have to waste any time going back to being human.
Oshino. I felt a little hesitant, but I decided to ask the question. I needed to know for sure before talking to Hanikawa. Am I really going to be able to become human again?
I don't see why not. As long as you can get back all of Heart Underblade's arms and legs. Isn't that what the kid said?
Well, that's the thing. Isn't there the possibility that Kishot is lying? I can see how she might be in order to get her limbs.
Hey.
Tap. I'd been poked in the head.
You shouldn't distrust her like that. Poor girl.
But...
I can't believe how ungrateful you are, saying that about someone who saved your life.
That's what Oshino said. Ungrateful? Saved my life? Did he just say that Kishot saved my life and not the other way around?
What's with that face, Aranagi? Something good happened to you?
Don't talk like you see through me.
I do see through you. Yes, you threw your life away for Kishot's sake. You presented your neck to her and her fangs. I think it's a wonderful thing you did, a beautiful act. But you know, Aranagi, normally, you would have died there.
My blood wrung dry. Not a single drop of my bodily fluids left. I was supposed to have died there. No, I did die there once, for certain.
But you came back to life. As a vampire, of course. But you've been allowed to keep your sense of self.
Isn't that because there's a rule set in stone? If a vampire sucks your blood, you turn into a vampire, right? Yes, I may not have died for good there, but to say she saved my life...
Set in stone? Where did you hear that one?
Oshino grinned, again as if he saw through me. As if he could see through all the fear and distrust that had settled in my heart like sediment. That's what Kishot said.
It's just what she said, no? Haven't you considered the possibility that that's when she was being a liar?
Liar? Liar? That's when she was being a liar? But why tell such a lie?
I don't mean to take Heart Underblade's side, so I'll spill the beans here. There are two patterns when a vampire sucks a human's blood. It's either as a nutrition supply, in the way of eating, or it's a way to create a thrall and servant.
The two are completely distinct, Oshino said with a slight smile.
Well, a vampire does receive a bit of nourishment when creating a thrall. But if she'd sucked your blood simply to feed on it, she surely wouldn't be missing her skills to such a degree. Even if fully recovering was still unlikely.
No, but that may have been true. Kishot had said as much, under that street lamp. My body's worth of blood could tide her over. Her current figure. A 10-year-old girl's figure. Did that really tide her over? Did that really nourish her? She was like a schoolchild without any lunch money.
At the moment, all I'm seeing are her powers of healing. It looks like she exhausted her skills just to form that body, and even lost her all-important power to suck blood.
What? Really?
Really. The form she's taken right now is something of an emergency-use-only one. She's maintaining her vitality at the cost of sealing most of her skills. Must have been the most she could do with all four of her limbs severed. If she'd sucked your blood as simple food, she'd surely be in much better shape.
So, I began to think, straining my inadequate brain and non-existent knowledge to their limits in order to connect the dots. In order to get her limbs back from those three, she had to make me her thrall, even if it meant temporarily losing most of her skills down to her ability to suck blood?
That's not it.
Oshino waved his hand sideways.
You could look at it that way, and that's probably what she'd say if you asked her. But I think it would be an excuse she made up after the fact. What I think is that she couldn't bring herself to kill you. Not only Heart Underblade, but vampires in general don't particularly like to create thralls. Even if they're dying, they'd rather not create a thrall just in order to survive. Heart Underblade. There's a heart under that blade. She seems to be a very different vampire from the one I'd heard about. Turning you into her thrall must have been the only way for her to stay alive without killing you.
Saved my life. If that was true, then indeed Kishot had saved my life. That had to be it. When Kishot first called out to me, she wasn't planning on making me her thrall. She simply meant to nourish herself. To feed. To tide herself over. But she said thank you. To a worthless human. To me. For sticking out my neck.
When you woke up here, Heart Underblade was sleeping by your side, wasn't she? Using your arm as a pillow? Doesn't that mean she was nursing you around the clock?
Around the clock?
A fresh thrall always has the risk of going into a frenzy. She was on the lookout to make sure that didn't happen. Or maybe it would be better to say she was watching over you. And then, afterwards too, when you carelessly tossed yourself under the sun, she didn't hesitate to rush into the sunlight to save you, braving the risk of her own body evaporating as well. That said,
Oshino added,
maybe it's close to the kind of affection humans feel for their pets, but at the very least, Heart Under Blade is true to you.
True, huh?
So you need to believe her. She'd be such a poor little thing if you didn't. Remember what I was saying? A relationship based on trust, Araragi. Don't worry, you'll be turning back into a human. In fact, the real trouble might come after that.
After that?
I'm telling you not to think of yourself as the victim here. Playing the victim doesn't sit well with me.
Those were harsh words. Unexpected ones, too, putting me at a loss. Hey, I don't care how I sit with you, but I'm not trying to play the victim here.
That's good to hear. I'll keep it in mind, Araragi. But either way, looking at you from my perspective, you're being naive.
Excuse me?
Oops, I meant naive.
Oshino corrected himself. What a way to misspeak.
Every aberration has its reasons, they say. Araragi, you need to give some more thought to why you encountered a vampire.
Well, that'd be by chance, no?
I'm sure it was by chance. What you need to think about is why that chance came about. But for now, maybe it's best if you prioritize getting back Heart Under Blade's limbs. I'm not obligated to worry about you, Araragi. But the way you fought makes me a little concerned.
Well, I won't say you can count on me. To get back on topic, though, if that was what Oshino, an expert, said, then I suppose I didn't need to worry. Right, Kishot was arrogant, but she was true to me. She may call me her servant, but she also seemed to see me as someone who'd saved her life. In that case, I needed to respond in kind. Meeting trust with trust. A relationship based on trust demanded it.
So, do you think the kid is about done eating?
Yeah, I guess. I'll need to ask her about my next opponent. Episode. I opened the door to the classroom and went back inside. Kishot, a Serora Orion Heart Underblade, who'd looked like a 10-year-old girl, had transformed, sure enough, into looking like a 12-year-old girl. She'd grown, already bigger than just the last time I saw her.